age and money. Sometimes they mix, sometimes they don't. Whether you're spending it, saving it, or just not making enough of it, money can be a major stumbling block in a relationship. Here to talk to us about money and marriage is a couple who recently celebrated, Tom, their 43rd wedding anniversary, but a couple who will tell you that it wasn't always easy.
Diane Rehm is the host and executive producer of the NPR program, The Diane Rehm Show. She and her husband, John Rehm, are the co-authors of a new book, Toward Commitment, A Dialogue About Marriage. The Rehms join us from WAMU Studios in Washington, D.C. Diane and John, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you.
We're delighted to be here.
Good to be with you.
What was each of your experiences with money growing up?
Sure. In my family, the rules were really quite simple. My father believed that if you had it, you spend it. My mother believed with equal sincerity, and I think generally prevailed, if you have it, you save it. You don't spend money, you save it for another time. And when that time arrives, you probably continue saving it.
Which is how you got to college, we ought to add.
Absolutely.
Because she did save that money.
Yeah, I think it's probably worth noting, because I'm not being wholly facetious in what I say about my mother's attitude. We're talking about the end of the Depression, the late 30s, when a lot of people didn't have much money, and she really was very frugal by nature. She set aside money for college largely on the basis of my father's poker earnings.
Wow.
When he was floating around in the North Atlantic with thousands of other people awaiting the invasion of North Africa in the Second World War.
Diane, what was your experience with money growing up?
Well, my experience was a little different. My dad owned a grocery store. My mother liked things, and they bought, you know, sort of frugally, but they bought. And lots of times my mother hid from my father what she had bought. I can remember after I started working at 16, 17, 18, she bought a new rug, and she made me say to my father that I had bought the rug so that he wouldn't know she had spent the money. So, you know, there are all kinds of secrets about money. There's no question, and that's one of the things we talk about in the book, are secrets. And secrets about money are not good for a relationship.
Are there secrets about money in the Rehm relationship?
No. I think...
Not secrets, but certainly divergent views.
Absolutely.
I have in mind the classic antagonism between need and desire. Diane's criterion in large measure is, if I want something and believe it to be desirable, then it's worth spending money for it. I take the view, perhaps the more masculine view, you don't spend it, you don't buy it, unless you need it.
See, that drives me crazy. I can walk through a department store and see 20 things I think I can use. And John's first question, I can even see it on his face, is always, do we really need this? Therefore, here is how I've solved the problem, David and Tom. I go shopping alone. It's much the easier.
But you see, over the years, Diane has convinced me of one thing, which is that she creates the need after she buys.
And that's all right, too.
Now, no secrets, right?
No secrets. Not about money. Mm-hmm. But I also think we ought to tell the truth about the early experience with money, namely that you control the checkbook. Until one day, I said, that's it. I'm getting a checking account of my own. It'll be a joint checking account, but I want to carry that little book in my purse. Well, he was furious. He had to give up control of the money, and that was hard for you.
It was very hard. I think perhaps I had my mother's image in mind, because she really did handle the money in our family, but for whatever reason, this became a really important issue of, what shall I say, territorial imperative.
You bet.
Certainly.
I wasn't prepared to give this up lightly, because it was simply part of the way the whole household had been running and was running fine and didn't need this interloper, if you will. So, yes, it took me some time to get over the notion that this was mine and all mine to do and that Diane shouldn't be involved.
How long did you know each other before you were married? And, as a follow-up to ask it up front, were you surprised, therefore, once you were married, by your own separate attitudes about money?
You know, knew each other 1 year before we were married.
Mm.
And I must tell you that during that year, I was totally bowled over by John's generosity. I mean, I had, you know, he just, everywhere we went, of course, in those days, this is 1958, mm-hmm. it was assumed that the gentleman would pay for dinner, the gentleman would pay for a movie or whatever. But nevertheless, I thought he was just totally generous. He would buy me books. He would buy me flowers. He would, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was surprised to learn that he wanted to keep control over the money after we were married.
And did we in the slightest way touch upon that? Intimated at all during our the period before our wedding? Not at all.
Now, very few engaged couples, whether they be male or female, are going to admit to being either a spendthrift or a tightwad. I mean, unless you two guys, maybe you have done that. But my point being, you've got to get to the truth at some point, and it's a heck of a lot better to get to it sooner rather than later.
Let's have a little fun on this serious topic and ask each of you, Diane, what is the worst thing you've seen John spend too much money on? And John, what is the worst thing you've seen Diane spend too much money on?
I can say to you categorically that I have never seen John Rehm spend too much money on anything for himself. If you ask John Rehm, do you want this? Would you like to have this? No, no. I mean, I have to force him to buy a new suit or to buy a new sport jacket or shoes or whatever. And that I find to be a problem because I want him to look nicer.
I have.
Well, let me ask you, John, let me pin down on this just for all the guys listening out there.
Sure.
Is this, do you restrain yourself or is this just your nature?
No, it's very much my nature. There's a distinctly anti-materialistic streak in me, and therefore it is hard for me to spend money on myself as well as others.
Mm-hmm.
There's one example I want to give about Diane buying something which I thought was just awful.
Good. Let's hear it.
And she's never heard me say this.
Excellent.
Not quite in these words, at least. Because let me begin by saying, you know, it's hard to explain because it is so garish, kitschy, cheap, overdone.
Keep going.
Just ersatz about a 3-foot angel to put somewhere, God help us all, in the house during Christmas.
Hey, guys, it's really pretty.
It's just awful. It is now residing in our attic. It's not been brought out. Well, it wasn't brought out this past Christmas
because we weren't here.
But I was still bracing myself for Diane saying, "Hey, shouldn't we have that
beautiful,
gorgeous
year.
Angel out?" It didn't arise, but I was prepared to go to the mat on that one.
So this is sort of an interior yard art, a sort of a lawn art piece that's brought into the interior rug art.
Not quite that bad.
Table
no, it's
art?
Made for.
Yeah.
I'll let Diane explain it because it's just too awful to talk about.
I'm not going to say another word.
And you know, deep down, now let me, breaking news, this is the other element of the breaking news. Deep, deep down, you guys, I think she agrees with me belatedly.
It's time to play our game, Buy, Sell, or Hold. We offer you a theme, something going on in society, a person, never a stock. But we ask you, if these things were stocks, would you be buying, selling, or holding going forward? And one sentence as to why.
Okay.
Are you ready to play?
Ready to play.
Buy, sell, or hold prenuptial agreements.
Buy.
Why?
Because in this day and age, I think people do not think carefully enough about possessions and money. There is a certain mistrust that the society itself has developed, and therefore I would be in favor.
I'm really torn.
Yeah, it's hard.
Because they make some objective sense, but on the other hand, they are so totally contrary to the spirit in which I would hope people got married, wealthy or otherwise, that I guess I'm on the fence on that one.
We didn't have a penny, and therefore no need for a prenuptial.
Mm-hmm. Last one, red roses on Valentine's Day. Buy, sell, or hold?
Sell, rather buy quantities. Line your bed with roses.
Oh, that's nice.
After you take away the thorns.
I really like that. Is that what you're planning to do?
I was.
Oh, that's nice.
You can't beat flowers.
Diane Rehm is the host and executive producer of NPR's The Diane Rehm Show. She and her husband, John Rehm, are the authors of a new book, Toward Commitment, A Dialogue About Marriage. To both of the Reams, thank you for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show. It was a wonderful interview.
We've had great fun.
We loved it. Thank you so much.
And all the best to both of you.